first statistics, which tells us how good it is. Okay. We had done this exercise once before, wherein it took a lot of time. So in this example, in the older setup, right, we wanted 5 servers. It took us 3 months to set it up. These are decently high-end servers, so you have to procure the servers, you have to set up the whole infrastructure, you have to set up the whole testing environment, you have to set up the whole, you know, logistics around that whole stuff, and then come back and start testing. Okay? It was utilized for a year, but within 2 weeks, you started getting the first run. So it took 3 months to set it up initially in the older setup, and after 2 weeks, we got the first run, and after that, it ran for a year. During the course of the year, you know, they decided we don't want this version of Windows Server, we want a new version of Windows Server, right? So there was a complete upgrade cost, older versions, older licenses had to be left out, newer licenses had to be procured, you had to install the whole stuff and take the whole run through. This time around, what they did was they came back and said, why don't we set up this entire stuff in the cloud, right? Given the fact that you can quickly commission, provision stuff in the cloud, it took them about a week to set up the whole stuff, right? And given the fact that it took them about a week to set up, there was no upgrade cost because in the cloud you let go of what was there, you stop paying for it immediately. You set up the new instance and you start paying for it immediately as of that point in time. Right? So there was negligible shift over and it was completely utilized for a year. But also quickly remember that as performance testing, your utilization is low. You run a performance test. After that, you spend 70% of the time analyzing your run. Right? So the servers were not actually fully utilized. Right? So the utilization ended up being only 30%. So in instances like this, if I want a server, heavy-end server, which does a lot of work, I know it's going to be only 30% utilized, I still need to come back and do the spend of that upfront. I still need to procure all of that upfront, right, and plan for it. In the cloud, the advantage that you get is the term that many of us hear, pay as you go, right? So I utilize 30% of it, I pay only for 30% of it, right? So it reduces the time taken to get started and reduces my costs pretty dramatically. Right, in scenarios like this. Second scenario was the evaluation of a new platform for streaming data. It was a new platform, something that set up was very complicated. It was not easy to do, relatively new. IT itself was very unfamiliar with the whole structure. So by the time they went about in terms of setting up the whole infrastructure, etc., it took quite a bit of time for them. Right? And the hardware requirement and the specifications requirement were very specific. So it was not easy to procure that kind of hardware or set up that kind of an instance. Right? In this instance, the time to set up was over 33 weeks. Right? So they took a long time just to get the specific hardware, just to get the virtualization driver, just to get the hardware right, just to evaluate that whole stuff, set it up, test it out. Right? They had to end up spending a lot of time. Right? When they came back and looked at the same setup in the cloud, it hardly took them any time because, as I'll show you, in the cloud, there's a whole bunch of templates. You want a certain specific hardware, you pick a template, you pick a sample, and you get started with it. Okay? So in the cloud, people have already done the background work for you in terms of all the infrastructure setup and things like that, and they've given you templates. So you want a multi-clustered SQL server or a multi-clustered Oracle database running in the cloud, there's a template for that. You pick the template, get started with it, configure, and you're up and running. Right? For you to do the same stuff in your premises, it ends up taking a lot of time and effort and expertise in terms of setting up something. Right? So this, even though utilization was 100%, because the time that it took to set up the whole stuff was long, it ended up becoming much more expensive. A third example, right, was the data migration of a legacy application. Right? We had a large legacy application, lots of data, and we had to migrate the whole stuff. Right? We used 50 servers. We could have used 50 servers to come back and do the migration on-premise. But what we did was in the cloud, they commissioned 500 servers and came back and finished it much faster. Right? So with 50 servers, it would have taken 6 months to set it up and utilized for 20 months. But with 500 servers, the utilization was just 2 months. This is another example wherein there is a public example for this. A publisher in the US wanted to come back and convert their historic data. Right? So they had magazines, they wanted to digitize the whole stuff. And for them to digitize a year's worth of magazine would have taken them 8 to 9 months, which means last 70 years of data would have taken them 50 years to convert. Right? They moved the whole thing onto the cloud and finished the migration in about a year, year and a half. Notice that in this case, the cost is not significantly different. Right? So there is a difference in cost, but the cost is not very significant. This is one of the reasons I keep telling that cost is not always the primary factor. If you look at the overall costs in terms of other spendings, spending of people, spending of personnel, spending of infrastructure, spending of time, etc., they would add up significantly. Okay? But if you just compare infrastructure costs, this is one of the examples which gives you a large amount of capability. It lets you do stuff which you could not have done before. Having 500 servers in your local premise is something that is not easily envisageable, right? It's not easy to do. You need a full-fledged data center. It takes a year and a half to set it up, right? But even a small setup somewhere, sitting in a remote corner of the world, if you decide that I need 5,000 servers to come back and run some process, you actually have the capability to pull off something like that, right? And you pay for it for its use. You pay for it for 3 months and then let it go, right? So one of the things the cloud does is it changes the way business is done. Okay? While it's a sort of thought process that it definitely reduces cost, look at it in terms of saying it is more of a changing landscape of the business, right? And see what are the kind of different ways that you can work with it. Okay? If you take this example, cost benefit is not something that will stand out. Cost benefit is not something that will get highlighted. Right? But at the same time, if you do the homework, you will realize that spending 26 months versus spending 3 months, there is obviously a significant difference, right, in terms of the overall costs and the thought process. Right? Any quick questions around these examples? Okay. If you have any other questions around this, I can go into more details on these examples later. Right? But these were some of the sample examples wherein we saw that in different scenarios, how the cloud actually works out for you. Right? So the whole theme in terms of working with the cloud is how will you adapt to this cloud-first world? Right? The cloud is something that is making a significant difference, right? With the whole bunch of infrastructure that we have. It unlocks efficiency, wherein it makes you think, allows you to do things much faster, allows you to do things much more efficiently, right? And it enables agility, wherein you can use it on demand, you can use infrastructure on demand, you can use 5,000 servers on demand, you can use 100,000 servers on demand, and let it go when you don't need it. Right? So that is the mix, that is the agility that the whole cloud infrastructure brings about, right? Which also means, as part of that whole thought process, the way you finance it, the way you price it, the way you cost for it is something that also starts shifting behind it, right? That's the whole economics of the software shift as part of leveraging a cloud infrastructure. So, theme of the point is business agility with the cloud, right? Quickly reiterate the first thing that I said. Cloud brings a lot of benefits. You need to take it with a pinch of salt in terms of security. You need to take a pinch of salt in terms of capability, infrastructure, etc. But it's like this, doing business in a new country, right? The first setup is always something wherein your learning grows. There are legal implications, financial implications, structural implications, etc. But once you figure that first part out, then you can come back and figure out and start seeing how do I leverage this better? How do I leverage this to give me a huge competitive advantage, right? So that's very similar in terms of working in a cloud kind of model. Okay. Quick look in terms of a demo. Not a technical demo. We are not too bothered from a technical structure perspective. But the thought process is I wanted to show off saying how easy it is to come back and look at starting off something in the cloud. Okay. So let's switch to the demo. Now, one of the things that you have is you have a cloud portal. This is the Azure portal. Setting up something is always pretty difficult. And like I was mentioning to you, as an example, if you decide I want a new setup, you can come back and say from a gallery, we have a whole host of stuff, right? So if you notice you want to set up a SQL server in a certain way, you select it and an image is already ready for you, right? You can have images which are optimized for transactional workload. You can have images which are optimized for business workloads. You have images which are optimized for BI workloads. One of the things that we tend to come back and talk about is it is not just in the Microsoft world, right? So as part of Azure, you can also come back and do a Ubuntu setup. You can do an Oracle setup. You can come back and do a CoreOS setup. Pretty much any infrastructure that you have is something that you can come back and move onto the cloud. In fact, we also have something called custom images. You can take an infrastructure that you want and you can come back and move it onto the cloud. One of the nice things about this whole stuff is that it gives you the ability to manage all your costs from one central place. Right? You can put limits on your spending. You can come back and decide how much I want to spend. You can come back and have a complete portal which tells you in detail where you're spending how much. Right? So, if you want a detailed report saying per server, you know, per day, per month, what is my breakdown in terms of spending, that is a detailed report that you can come back and get. Right? Today, when we invest in IT infrastructure, we set up servers. Initially, we pay for it. We set it up. But after that, we don't know how much it's actually being used. We don't know whether we can decommission it. We don't know whether we want to come back and say, you know, let it be. We've already spent on it. Or do we want to repurpose it for some other stuff? Right? As part of the whole cloud setup, it gives you details wherein it comes back and tells you that for each of these operations, what is the lowest level stuff that is happening, right? So it can tell you what is the billing, what are you paying for, which is the setup that you're paying for on a per monthly, per daily kind of a basis, right? So one of the nice things the cloud does is it brings your financial payments in sync with the utility of the actual resources. Right? Till now, we spend on infrastructure very similar to a building. You know, I spend on a building, but if I don't know how well this building is utilized, I don't know if I can utilize it better. I don't know if I can repurpose it. I don't know if I can use it for other purposes. Right? So just like we have to come back and keep a track of utilization of all our large assets, keeping a track of utilization of all of these assets is something that is critical. Right? This gives us a first view in terms of saying somebody asked for a new server, you have a server that's not being utilized. Can you come back and repurpose it? Right? Can you come back and look at it? Why are we billing more on this? Right? So that's one of the views that you get in terms of. Right? So let's go back to the slide. So the thought process of the whole Azure portal or the cloud portal is the fact that while it gives the IT guys a whole bunch of stuff to do, they can set up any kind of infrastructure, they can, you know, set up a Microsoft, non-Microsoft OS, they can set it up very quickly and stuff. For the finance person, that is tightly integrated to your whole billing cycle. You get a detailed invoice, you get a detailed report which tells you which resource is getting utilized how and what is the best way to come back and start utilizing those resources better. Right? So if somebody comes and says, you know, we want to do a performance test and you come back and budget for that and plan for that, and you realize they're not actually using it too much, you can quickly go back and relook at it. Right? So that's the kind of control that it gives you from a financial tracking kind of a perspective. Okay. Any questions, comments around that? Right? Okay. The cloud gives you a bunch of services. Right? It gives you, this is what you do as part of your own internal setup. Right? So this, you plan for the whole stuff. You have an internal on-premise kind of a setup. And the cloud gives you multiple levels to come back and simplify the whole costing model. Right? So we have something called a dedicated managed hosting, infrastructure as a service, platform as a service. In each one of them, the amount of capex that you spend becomes lower and lower. Right? So what is this whole thought process around capex spending versus ongoing kind of a spending? The challenges we have got as part of the IT spending is the fact that our IT spendings are pretty random. Right? We have got end of the month processes wherein end of the month suddenly the budget shoots up, the utilization shoots up, and for that we have to plan for a whole bunch of resources. We have got random spending, right, wherein we come back and say, okay, there's a sudden burst in terms of utilization and we have to come back and plan for that. We also have the growing fast scenario wherein suddenly a lot of things are happening. There's a lot of requirements as part of IT infrastructure, and the turnaround time in terms of getting infrastructure, implementing it and using it is not always up to speed. Right? So if it's going to take us 3 months to set up a new infrastructure, we come back and start planning for it upfront. So we start doing the spend 3 months in advance for things that we need 3 to 6 months down the line. Unpredictable bursting and predictable bursting. So different kinds of a utilization model is what drives our challenges as part of spending for the different IT budgets. Right? And what the outcome is that something like a cloud or something like a managed setup gives us the agility as part of all of this spending. So if we want to have a delivered on demand, we want to have a burst or a utilization next week, right? We can budget and plan for that now. If you want to have a planned budget, which says, you know, 3 months down the line, we have a big event coming up, we can plan to spend on that at that point in time rather than upfront. Right? It gives you a shared pool of resources. You know what utilization is there, so you can come back and choose to reuse or optimize all the existing infrastructure that you've got. You get a broad network access, a metered service, wherein you go, you have regular billing and stuff, and a elastic demand. This essentially drives a different thought process from an economic calculus, right? So all the investments in technologies can be planned based on actual usage patterns. Related expenditures, and I'll come to this in a minute, is something that reduces dramatically. Evaluation of newer solutions can be done very easily and a faster turnaround. What does this result in? The key four drivers for us in terms of looking at a financial model for working in the cloud kind of services is CapEx, what is our cash flow, which is OpEx, utilization, and opportunity. Quick touch upon each of this. Whenever we have to come back and spend upfront, we have a large CapEx spend, right? If I can defer this to a cash flow, if I can defer this to on a paid as you go, then I'm not spending the upfront initial infrastructure at all, right? But after having spent on it, if my utilization is very low, right, then I'm not fully using all the resources. Then the question is, am I all the money that I have spent, is that something that is getting utilized properly, right? One of the other things that we get hit with is something called opportunity, right? There's a large opportunity. Using of mobile devices, large opportunity. Using of RFID, large opportunity, right? But these opportunities involve a spend all by themselves, right? So are we looking at cutting costs? Are we looking at enabling opportunities, right? These are the two different perspectives that we have got when we come back and look from a cash flow kind of perspective. Okay. Quick thought process here, right? In a regular setup, we have a CapEx expense. We come back, set up an infrastructure. And on top of that, we've got a OPEX spend, right? Which is an operating expense, right? The advantage that something like the cloud brings to you is that it reduces the CapEx spend dramatically, right? It comes and says you can utilize it as you go. You can set up the infrastructure when you want. And based on that, you primarily have all the variable costs. Now, what are the variable costs? People. Come back and manage all of this infrastructure, power, space, all of these are different variable costs. So when we take into account actual IT spending, we are only comparing servers to servers, right? But you also have this whole other bucket, which is actually your operating expenses spend, which you have to come back and plan for, right? And that is also absorbed as part of spending on the cloud. So you come back and say, no, there is no space, there's no power. The people that you have who are utilizing this infrastructure that you have are the same set of people who will now come back and utilize it on the cloud, right? So the challenge is that you shift from a largely CapEx kind of a model to a largely OPEX kind of model. Now, quick question to you guys. Is that always good? Is that good? So the kind of IT budgets that you guys have, the kind of IT spends that you guys are doing, right? Would you guys look at in terms of saying, okay, I have this large CapEx expenditure, I would rather come back and spread it out over a period of time? Any specific choices either ways? So is spreading out your investments long-term always good? Is fair enough. So give me an example wherein you think, you know, a CapEx investment is better, and give me an example. Right. So there is that perspective in terms of saying there is also a strategic thought behind it, right? One of the key things that we say is when you move on to the cloud, it's not just about, you know, let us remove CapEx and move everything to OpEx. Let's not just move into pay as you go, right? When we move into pay as you go, there are other considerations, right? There are other challenges also. And like you rightly said, it works on a case-to-case basis. Can you give me an instance wherein moving from your own infrastructure to a pay-as-you-go infrastructure is better? Some example that you heard of. Emailing, right? So emailing is something that you need on a regular basis. You don't know how many people are going to be using it. You will grow in terms of number of people. You will cut down in terms of number of people in a certain location. You will shift different locations. So an emailing is a standard solution wherein you say, instead of me setting up the whole infrastructure, I would rather utilize it in the cloud. Emailing is also beneficial in terms of saying that, you know, as servers change, as infrastructure change, I really don't want to take the pain of bringing down everything, upgrading it, and doing the whole maintenance and managing it and stuff like that, right? So there's a lot of operating stuff involved as part of something as simple as emailing, right? So emailing is one of the standard things wherein most of the people come back and look at it in terms of saying, can we shift to the cloud? It makes my work very simple. I just pay on a per user basis. Today I have 500 people, I pay for 500 people. Tomorrow I have, you know, 5,000 people, I pay for 5,000 people, right? So it gives you a good mix in terms of coming back and saying, I would want to spread out my costs. Any example of the reverse, wherein you would not be very comfortable with spreading out the costs? Your authentication servers, and probably the reason would be security kind of stuff. So purely from a financial perspective, right? So obviously there are security concerns, there are data security concerns, there's concerns in terms of saying I don't want to let go of my data and stuff. Right? So that's something you want to hold internally, right? But from a financial kind of a perspective, right? Assuming all things are okay, is there a incident? You know, like you mentioned, there are different considerations. There's no, you know, one solution fits all. But what would be the scenario wherein you come back and say moving to the cloud might not be too beneficial for you? That's all. Tax planning. Very correct. Right? So one of the things that is there when you come back and spend on a CapEx is the fact that you get depreciation behind it, right? Tax planning, like you rightly said, and this works in different countries in different ways, but it's utilized across the world, is you spend largely on the CapEx. You get a depreciation benefit wherein over a period of time, the whole amount is depreciated. You're still utilizing it, but it's now negligible to you in terms of a cost. And that's a benefit that goes away. Understand somebody else is taking that benefit. Right? Somebody else has put up a heavy capex, somebody else is now depreciating it. So you're essentially taking all the tax benefits that you've got in terms of depreciation, etc., and you're moving it on to somebody else. Right? So while you get agility, while you get the benefit in terms of I can scale, while you get the benefit that I can spread my costs over a period of time, you don't necessarily get all the benefits in terms of depreciation and the tax structure behind it. Right? And that is just one part of the whole example. Exactly, you would, right? So the depreciation, an example of something that would make sense to come back and say, I will host it internally and I'll probably not put it onto the cloud, is something that is stable, is something that you will utilize. It's something like a manufacturing setup. I will install it once, I'll install a large IT infrastructure once, and I'm not going to change it for the next 10 years. Now, I can't think of too many examples of this, but there would be incidents wherein I want to come back and spend locally, right? Those are things that you will come back and say, I will keep it completely internal. Right? One example that one of the customers gave is desktop software. Right? So desktop software, while there are instances wherein I can move my whole desktop also to the cloud, it is something that is very close to people who are using it on my desktop kind of stuff. Right? So this is something I'll probably continue with it for a period of time. I'll probably shift to mobiles and tablets, but I'll probably continue with it for a period of time. But the thought process is, there is no one size fits all. There is no permanent, there's no definitive solution. The cloud gives you a lot of.
Good morning. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Do I need a mic? No. Right? Thank you so much for taking our time and joining us for these CFO sessions today. And we really appreciate your time. We know your time is valuable. And our endeavor is to ensure that every minute that you spend with us is meaningful and you take some things back from here. I'm Mani Agarwal. I take care of marketing for the corporate accounts. The sessions that we have conceived for you today is based on the fact that the CFOs are going beyond the boundaries of finance today. Their functions are increasing. Lately, we've seen that IT is reporting directly into the CIOs. When a survey was done, we figured out there are 45% CFOs who have IT directly reporting into them, and 25% of them further who have dotted line reporting into IT. And technology today is touching every phase of an organization. And hence, CFOs are getting that strategy, that technology in another decision. And hence, we thought we need to speak to you about how technology is touching a CFO's life. So the sessions that we would cover today, the first session, we would talk about the financial models for investments in technology. How does it impact the cash flow? How does OPEX versus CAPEX work? How do you get more elasticity, more scalability with the different decision making that you have from an investment perspective that you are approving for any IT operations? The second session that we would cover today is about the technology touching your and your team's lives. All of you have a lot of in-depth analytics, reporting, insights gathering, kind of requirements that you work on. So how Microsoft is using the finance function, so how is our finance team doing their business every day? So we will talk about the user-friendly accessibility to the technology which will help you in your daily function. So I will have the finance team from Microsoft talk about it. The third session that we will talk about is the big data. Big data is a term which a lot of people know that, yes, big data, but how do I make insights of it? How does the unstructured data from the public domain can be related to my financials? So for example, if there's a market event or a company event or macroeconomic indicators, how does it relate to my financials? How does it impact my financial performance analytics is what we would talk about. And in the end, we would talk about what are the things that you should ask your CIOs when you're working with them or you're approving some IT budgets or making a decision on which technology to procure, etc. So that's how we would cover how does the relationship between the CFO and CIO has to work, how does it impact your life by technology adoption, and how does it impact the cash flow.
Thank you. Thanks, Himani. So, like Himani mentioned, you know, the challenges that we have are varied. It is something that is, you know, IT is becoming a key part of most businesses. Some parts of IT also has other legal implications. So, IT infrastructure decisions are becoming more like the decisions in terms of, do I get into a new market? Do I come back and invest in a new place? Right? It's getting into that kind of a point wherein you need to take strategic decisions as part of the whole IT flow through. I'll quickly run through a flow that we have, but at any point of time, if you have other questions or if you have other thoughts, please feel free to jump in and we can have a discussion down the road. Okay? My name is Praveen Shivatsa. I play the role of a director at Astrosoft Consulting. I'm an external consultant with Microsoft. Multiple software companies, I come back and take a look at them in terms of giving them a direction, saying, is the cloud something that you should consider or not? Is this technology path something that you should consider or not? Right? And these would be in the manufacturing, healthcare, network management kind of solution spaces. Okay. Bunch of challenges for CFOs today, much larger IT budgets than what we are talking about. So IT forms a large part of the whole IT budget, irrespective of what field you're in. The IT budget is not a small thing. It's not some minuscule part. A lot of strategic decisions are taken around the IT budget. You know, people decide, okay, all of us need an iPad, all of us need an iPhone, all of us need to enable, you know, on devices. We need a device-based way of inventory management system, right? So you come up with a thought which you know long-term makes sense, and as part of that, the IT budgets are something that are significant as part of any industry today, right? Heavy capex investment, a lot of them are ideas that you spend today to see a benefit much later in the day, right? But you're not very sure whether later in the day you'll actually see a benefit or not, but you still have a lot of spend today that you have to approve for that, right? So that becomes another big challenge. You're not very sure of the return on investment. You come back and say, you know, okay, this is something investment that we'll do. We'll come back and invest in a large software. We'll come back and invest in an analytics system. We'll come back and invest in an inventory management, RFID-based system. But you're not very sure of the return on investment. So you're not sure in terms of, you know, taking your capex, why are you spending so much on it right now, and what is the utilization that's going to be around that whole stuff, right? And a whole bunch of unplanned expenditure. Right? We start with something, budget is approved, everything starts. Suddenly IT team comes and says, okay, now for us to actually do this, we need 4 more servers and we need to do a performance testing, so we need a whole budget more, right? So suddenly a whole bunch of unplanned budgets, which we are not even sure it makes sense, right? But a whole bunch of those as well come up. Okay. Quick questions. Anything else, any other thoughts in terms of challenges from a finance management perspective around the whole IT space? We also have this sort of, you know, elephant in the room, which is cloud. Like I was talking to somebody, cloud is something that everyone is talking about, right? All of us have our own perspectives about it, right? It's like that story about the elephant and 7 people. Each of us are looking at our own part, and each of us think this is the cloud, right? Some of us see a benefit there, some of us don't see a benefit there. A lot of people claim to be on the cloud already, but we are not too sure what it means. Okay. So, quick question from you guys, right? One, what is your perspective on the cloud? Second, what are the challenges in terms of finances related to the whole IT space? Any quick thoughts? Right. 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 So expectation is that it brings in a lot of flexibility. It is something that integrates a lot of data pockets that we had before, right? It gives us a much more seamless access to the whole information and hopefully makes it more useful, right, in terms of coming back and doing it. Coming back and getting the information and doing business. Okay. Any other perspective? How many of you believe or hope that the cloud was something that will save you a lot of money? Bunch of people, right? This is one of the premises, one of the thoughts that we have, wherein we come back and say that the cloud will save you a lot of money. It has to be taken in perspective in terms of what it provides, right? That's something that we'll talk about. In terms of saying why you will see in terms of where it saves money and what is the logic and what is the context behind that whole thought process, right? So, like I said, any other thoughts or you know, questions, please feel free to jump in. Yeah. Right. 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 So, you know, security is the other concern. In fact, we have seen instances wherein everything is done, people have decided to move on to the cloud, but somebody raises this point saying, I'm not sure of security. And that unravels the whole stuff, right? Security is also one of those things which is true in our lives wherein we can't have half percentages. We can't be 50% secure, right? Either we are secure or we are not, right? I can save 50% of my budget, right? But if somebody comes back and makes a statement saying, you know, I can't guarantee security, even though we don't fully know what it means, it sort of unravels the whole decision. Right. So, yes, very true. Security is also a concern. We'll quickly touch upon it in one perspective, but we don't have too much of it at this context. But I would agree with you. As somebody approving finance, a simple example, if we decide to get into a new market and the market is not very safe or secure, I will have my doubts in terms of getting into it. My risk increases, my risk of exposure increases, and that's something I need to be very conscious about. Right? So similarly here, security is something that we have to be conscious about in terms of saying it increases risks, but we have to figure out how to come back and mitigate it. Right, let me start off with a few examples. These are projects that I've worked on through customers, with customers kind of stuff. So it gives you a quick perspective in terms of the context that I was mentioning about. Okay? First scenario, They built a whole system, healthcare application, large application, multiple sites in the US. They had an old legacy system, and the thought process was, okay, we'll cut out the legacy system, move on to the new system, and you know, we will go live with it. Functionality-wise, everything was signed off, everything was done, all the users were okay, but they had a doubt in terms of performance, right? So when they started off in terms of looking at one or two branches, they came back and said, you know, we have a concern from a performance perspective. Now, suddenly an unplanned budget came up, wherein they came back and said, performance is something that we need to test, right? This was not planned for, this was not budgeted for, but this became a bottleneck for them to come back and go live, right? Saying without doing a performance testing, without even getting started with it, performance testing is a longish exercise, but if I can't get started with the exercise and get a first field parameter, right, then I'm not even sure I want to go down this route, right? So they came back and said, we need a performance certification, right? A first performance test run, right? Based on which we will go ahead. After that, you can take your own sweet time fixing it, right? But most enterprise customers are at a point wherein we have a large upfront infrastructure investment, right? And this investment is something that gives you a benefit over a period of time. So when you utilize the same IT infrastructure for 10 years, your cost in terms of per hour is something that goes down dramatically because your utilization has become very high, right? But at the same time, if your utilization is low, I've used it only for 1 year. Every year I have to upgrade it. Every year I have to change it, right? Then it outweighs the full benefits of actually spending on CapEx. So one of the things that we say is don't make a decision in terms of, you know, do I want to move to the cloud or do I want to keep locally completely. I'll give an extension to the example that you said in terms of email. One of the customers I know, they come back and say, we will use a mix of email, right? For all internal communication, we have a small server and we'll utilize that. It's a CapEx and we have done it. But for all larger communications outside, we will set up a hosted email infrastructure, right? So one of the things that companies are looking at doing is not to live in an on-premise world or not to live in a cloud world. They're looking at living in a mixed world. They're looking at living in a hybrid world. They're looking in terms of saying, where I get the benefit from the cloud, I will move on to the cloud. And where I will not get a benefit from the cloud, I will continue in terms of on-premise. If you have already spent on infrastructure, say, you know, my salary processing end of the month, I've already spent the infrastructure, I'm not going to change it. Hopefully I'll change my salary, but not necessarily my salary processing. And that's something that's fixed and kept for a period of time, right? And it's something I'm not looking at shaking the boat at all, right? It is something that you can continue as a CapEx investment. There's no need to move it onto the cloud. But if you have a pain, it says, this software is supported on this version, new version comes up, it's no longer supported, I have to keep migrating. Every 2 years, I have to migrate to a new server, etc. Now, it might make more sense to come back and say, you know what, let's look at an infrastructure wherein it makes it much more simpler and easier. Right? So, like the gentleman mentioned, it is a very decisive call in terms of saying, I have benefits both ways. I have a benefits in CapEx, I have a benefits in OpEx. One of the things that Azure does or any cloud service does is their pricing is at such a level that you really need to hit a 70-75% utilization to start seeing benefits of it, right? But in terms of a decision, somewhere in between, somewhere at a plus 50% is where you start seeing the cloud advantage. Right? So if I have an infrastructure, I'm going to utilize it for a period of time, I'm going to utilize it for a year, year and a half, I'm going to utilize it more than 50%, and it has a lot of changes behind it, you actually start seeing benefits in terms of moving all of these costs onto a cloud-based model. Small benefit of a cloud-based model, you have the pricing calculator defined. It's a spreadsheet, it's an Excel calculator. You literally can come back and predict what is my spend on a month-on-month basis for the stuff that you want. Right? And any request that comes in, you can start planning for a cost kind of a planning from the next month onwards. Right? So it gives you a very tight control in terms of the financial planning. So one of the things that we say is you have a choice of on-premise CapEx heavy or the cloud, which is OpEx heavy. But end of the day, you should consider a hybrid cloud. Most people will end up having a hybrid cloud. What will change is the percentages, right? Will you be 90% on the cloud and 10% on-premise, or will you be 90% on-premise and 10% in the cloud, right? That also adds on in terms of security concerns. I have large security concerns, I'll continue to remain on-premise. But the fact that you will use a cloud is something that will not go away, right? So whether it's 5% or 10%, most enterprises will look at moving onto the cloud because of the benefits that it gives, right? One thing from a thought process perspective is on-premise software You use it because you paid for it. I bought the server, now let me do something with it. Right? It's like saying, okay, I bought a building, let's put something in it. Right? In the cloud services, the benefit that you get is you pay because you use it. Right? Because it is useful, you're paying for it, and you're not necessarily just, because I've spent it, doing something with it. Right? So that's one of the key drivers, or key thought processes in terms of how you go forward from a financial perspective. Opportunities, challenges, these are standard, lower infrastructure cost, cash flow based on utilization of the actual resources, and a faster turnaround in terms of implementations. Right? Challenges, legal and regulatory concerns around data, and if somebody is interested, we can talk in more detail around this. This is a challenge, and that is a challenge that needs to be overcome. Like I said, in a hybrid model, a lot of people choose to keep the data on-premise, but move all the services to the cloud. Right? So you want to mobile enable your ERP, right, and give it out to 100,000 users. You can keep the ERP data safe, but you can mobile enable it on the cloud. So you can use a hybrid kind of model. Right? And you have an external dependency in terms of business operations, which is another cloud vendor that you're dependent upon. Right? Quickly, from the Microsoft perspective, lots of challenges, not only challenges that we have today in terms of data that's growing, but we expect that the data, along with all connected devices and stuff, is something that will explode. Right? And we are not always ready to handle it. You have an RFID-based data coming in, you suddenly start seeing a terabyte of data per day, we are not always ready to handle it. Right? So a lot of these is not necessarily just the challenges that we have today, but the challenges that are coming up in the near future. Right? And we need to gear ourselves in terms of handling all of those. Right? The Microsoft Cloud infrastructure gives you a mix, on-premise, co-location, hosted managed services, cloud-based infrastructure. Again, thought process is, it's not on-premise or cloud, but you have a whole range in between, wherein you can step through the whole stuff. Microsoft has a complete ecosystem, and that's what it's known for. It's a very strong ecosystem, partners, vendors, third-party services, support, events like this in terms of giving out knowledge, etc. And that is something that is a very strong ecosystem as part of looking through the whole stuff. And it's got a whole bunch of data centers around the world which are growing on a regular basis. Right? So multiple account teams, multiple global support, they're setting up in multiple countries to get over the legal and other local implications kind of stuff, and support in terms of multiple currencies. And most of the Microsoft servers themselves are primarily moving on to that. So from a background experience perspective, Microsoft is like saying, we have Azure, we know it is proved, we know pretty much everything can be done on it, and we are dogfooding it by moving our stuff onto that. Right? If we can move our stuff onto that, from a performance and scale perspective, it'll last. Now it's more of a choice and a business decision that you have in terms of what you want to move. Right? So quick summary. Moving on to the cloud is a CapEx versus OpEx choice. It is not a either or choice. In most instances, it will be a dual choice. You will choose this and that. It is not this or that. Okay? The difference is in terms of how much percentage you will use on-premise versus how much percentage you will use onto the cloud. Okay? A quick thought process, like if you want to come back and do business in a new country, we always start off in terms of saying, let's set up a small unit, let us figure out all the legal regulations, then let's come back and figure out how to utilize it better. So very similarly, it makes a lot of sense to set up something in the cloud, move a few dev servers onto that, move a few test servers onto that, move probably a few not so critical stuff onto that, and start seeing the benefit of that. Right? And then you can make this choice in terms of saying, what is it that I want to spend? What is it that I want to continue to get a tax benefit? What is it that I want to have a longer utilization versus what is it that is so much of a change that it is disruptive for me and I would rather use the cloud? Right? Hybrid models allows you to leverage both. Right? So in pretty much most instances, you will end up using some kind of a hybrid model. Right? And Azure provides robust, compliant hybrid cloud, which helps you in terms of gradually moving onto the cloud. So moving onto the cloud is not a one-day decision saying from today we'll be onto the cloud. It's more of a gradual step-by-step decision wherein you start with a few steps and then make the choice in terms of where you want to go. Oops, sorry. Right, questions, comments? I talked to a few of you before the session and there were some quick thought processes in terms of what are the financial models, how does the cloud benefit and stuff. Right? So.
Yeah. public cloud certainly would be an easier task, but those companies who could be into development and testing kind of services, moving that entire thing into the cloud currently do not seem to be technically on small scale possible, but on large scale making it feasible because of the applications or the tools written as the desktop kind of tools.
Right.
So moving them to cloud, using them from cloud, technically feasible, but financially it is not sustainable in terms of the whole fitting it into sustainable business model.
Fair enough. If I understood your comment right, it's more in terms of saying, you know, moving some of the ERPs and stuff to the cloud, which is the utilization software.
No. ERP, CRM, they are written with basically as web-based kind of
as
application. Now you host it as either the basically private kind of application or a private cloud or a public cloud, designed like that.
Right.
But when you say a development tool kind of basically scenario, company doing software development, now there would be, say, thousands of developers, there would be thousands of testers.
Right.
Now the whole thing, if you need to, the company now would like to make use of the cloud infrastructure, basically, in order to shift the whole thing. Now, as of now, when you look at the kind of these applications are not written as the cloud kind of applications.
Correct. Right.
Now, technically, it is feasible to shift them to cloud and access them and manage them. That is possible. But when you talk about these applications, these are so graphic and power hungry kind of applications at
right.
desktop, and also it requires enormous amount of bandwidth to make it feasible. And
exactly.
Currently, if you look at the bandwidth cost, it do not make it sustainable.
Totally agree.
Though principally capex, shifting capex to opex is technically correct, but when you consider this scenario, it doesn't specifically.
I agree. So development environments is one of the things that is not easy to shift onto the cloud. However, gradually the shift is happening. So as an example, Microsoft has a Visual Studio Online option, wherein it's an online IDE, then you can come back and do development. Obviously, it is less than 10% of the development, right? It's not even practical or feasible to look at that today as an enterprise development option, right? So in terms of if I want to do a Visual Studio development, if I want to do Android Studio development kind of stuff, you know, can I take all these emulators, drivers and stuff, put it onto the cloud? Probably no. But I'll give you one example. There was this company which was largely using, you know, non-Microsoft kind of a software, and they had this instance wherein they had to integrate with SharePoint, right? And they had to come back and install SharePoint, commission SharePoint, do the whole stuff as part of the SharePoint integration, etc., which was a lot of effort for them. And so what they did was they created on Azure a SharePoint instance and did the whole integration with that. Right. So while I agree that, you know, most development environment, anything that is stable, if I long term, I probably will come back and set up a local SharePoint environment. Right. But more than look at it in terms of what is feasible, what is not feasible kind of a stuff from a finance perspective, look at it in terms of utilization for this one instance. Is there a case for it or not? Right. So there could be a case which says for one specific SharePoint development, it might make sense to set up in the cloud. But one of the things that he brought about, the point that he brought about is very pertinent. We have to be very conscious that we are getting servers in the cloud at the cost of a good network connectivity. If your network connectivity goes down, all the benefits of the server being there goes away. Right? So it's a mix of both that you have to consider as part of the cloud. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would guide you
Absolutely.
So what are you guys who are industry experts are doing to at least make those that difference?
Right. So two, three things. It's small steps. We are still some distance away from it. But the few steps are, one is Microsoft is setting up data centers in multiple locations. Right. So the data centers are not, it is there. Right. Correct. I'll tell you two, three steps that we are doing. And like I told you, we probably are not fully there yet. In terms of across the globe, but I'll tell you what we are doing. One is we are setting up multiple data centers across. In fact, one of the thought processes, they want to set up a data center in India as well to assuage some of these concerns and stuff. Second is a whole bunch of compliance is something that Azure is already certified on,
yeah,
right?
They're asking for, I've worked with a
Right.
They ask for certification.
Right. So Microsoft is actively working in terms of coming back and saying Azure for each country, we are getting it certified based on government regulations. And that is something we are giving off. But a small added-on note to that, we also want to come back and say while Azure is certified, when people are moving on to that, we want to work with them to certify their applications also. Because it's very possible to come back and certify the infrastructure, but have the applications open up some holes somewhere. Right? So we are coming back and saying, first we will get Azure certified. We already have Azure certified in multiple regions, but we are coming back and saying that is something we'll take globally in every country that we operate with. Right? And second, we are coming back and gradually looking at an Azure certification for the different apps hosted on this. Right? Okay, we are running out of time. I'll take a quick last question, and after that, we'll take questions outside. Yeah. Right. Very good question, very interesting question. I was having a chat with somebody else. Pretty much everyone is on the cloud, right? You name a person, they're all on the cloud. You know, VMware is on the cloud, Google is on the cloud, Amazon is on the cloud. So one of the things that you should do when you're looking at what is on the cloud is you need to go one level deeper in terms of saying, things like security, things like a hybrid model, things in terms of how exactly are you on a cloud that makes sense to you, right? And when you do that, you will realize that Google provides one kind of a cloud, Amazon provides one kind of a cloud. One of the things that Microsoft does very well is it works with enterprises in terms of doing a hybrid kind of a model. We also provide a IaaS, we also provide a public kind of a cloud, but the hybrid model is something that is very relevant, right? But it's a very short answer, not a complete kind of an answer, but suggestion is delve one level lower in terms of saying what are the cloud checkpoints which makes somebody a cloud. Somebody as simple as a GoDaddy which does domain, they also claim to be on the cloud, right? So what's the difference between somebody like that versus Azure? So go through a checkpoint in terms of what meaning of being on the cloud means, and the moment you have a series of checkpoints, you'll realize what are the things that Azure has versus AWS. I can give you some of them, right? So we can quickly chat up outside and I can share some. Okay, I think I've run out of time, so thank you. I hope I gave you a perspective in terms of how the cloud helps you in terms of a shifting model from a business perspective. Right? Thank you.
Thank you, Prabir. That was a very interesting session, and I hope you got some answers to the investment and cash flows that you need to manage. So let's just shift the gears a little. As I said in the morning, that we would look at how Microsoft does finance. How is our finance team utilizing simple and easy to use tools to make complex things very simple? So I have Mandira Verma, who's our group financial controller for MNO, and she leads sales financial planning analysis across the consumer and commercial business for Microsoft India. What sets her different from other finance people is her passion for technology. She is a champion of how to use things very, very simply and make sense out of complex things and make it very easy, efficient, and effective for the finance team to do their daily tasks. Mandira will talk about how she does it in her daily job.